You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
They're saying I should think stuff.
Something is wrong with me.
So cynical.
Practice.
Welcome to Positive Cynicism. I really don't have too much to say in this opening for this episode. So all I'm going to say is be sure to check out the other shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network. Kevin Huntsberger's My 1-2-3 Cents, Greg Mahochko's Nerds United, and Five Heart Podcast, which I don't really follow college sports, but the Five Heart Podcast is all about Nebraska sports, and after what I've seen this past weekend, maybe send Greg a nice little message just to make sure that he's still okay. I should probably do the same myself, just to make sure that the Nebraska football season isn't having too much of a bad effect on his mental health. And speaking of mental health, you know, if you are dealing with any type of mental health issues, I highly encourage you to seek help and just make sure you have a nice support group and people to talk to, because I can tell you from experience, it does make a lot of difference. And after that, let's go into this commercial break, then the theme music, and I'll be back with social marketing guru Tom Harness for this month's Question Everything.
Hey everyone, Kevin Huntsberger here from My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, and my123cents.com. Every Monday, a new episode drops with the latest news and happenings in the world of professional wrestling. Head to the archives and listen to interviews with legends of the ring like Double J, Jeff Jarrett, Mick Foley, Kamala, and Dan the Beast Severin. Current superstars like Sheamus, Xavier Woods, and Kofi Kingston have been part of the discussion too. Again, it's My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast, a wrestling fan's perspective.
What is the meaning of life? Do aliens exist? How much wood can a woodchuck chuck? Why do superheroes wear their underwear on the outside? It's Question Everything. In the hot seat tonight, digital marketing specialist Tom Harness.
Okay, as I mentioned, I am joined this month on this edition of Question Everything with a guy that I'm air quoting, and you can't see air quotes on podcasts, so it's kind of pointless to do air quotes, but air quoting, I've known Tom Harness for probably 2 or 3 years, seeing him on social medias, and he is good friends with Kevin Huntsberger, the host of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast, and he's actually gotten Tom involved and into wrestling, and Tom, I'm just going to start off here. By the way, welcome to the show, Tom Harness. Say hi.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I know, it's amazing. It's one of those things where you're like a mythical unicorn. Do you really exist, or maybe a narwhal? I don't know. Maybe you're more of a narwhal kind of guy to me.
Okay. Yeah. It's weird how we've been in the same area several times and have never met. We're like Snuffleupagus's.
Oh, you know what? That's truly old school. I love it. Yeah, I love the Snuffleupagus. You went out there, man.
All my references are way outdated.
Which means I'll get them, so I appreciate that.
Perfect. You know, I do it for Kevin's benefit, because I know he gets those references.
Well, he's the oldest of all of us. So.
Exactly. But I was going to say, Kevin has gotten you involved, or gotten you watching wrestling more. I don't think, were you a fan growing up?
Absolutely. 80s. Okay. I loved mostly the Junkyard Dog and, Sergeant Slaughter and all those that were real, very character based and driven. Rowdy Piper. I loved the cartoon show a lot, but I did watch it. And then I think I stopped right around when The Undertaker came in, and I liked the character, but it really went a whole different direction for me. It wasn't the novelty. It was like legit business. Uh-huh. So I kind of lost interest, and I don't want to say I grew up, but I went a different direction with my interest.
Okay. No, I can understand that, because at that time myself, kind of when WWF at the time got too cartoony, interest started to wane for myself. I've been a fan since 1983. And it wasn't until like the birth of the internet when you got the behind-the-scenes scoops and realized what's going on behind the scenes is more interesting most of the time than what's going on in front of the camera.
So you were more into the in-depth. You liked the business concept of what made it, because you probably – I get that. I liked the hokey and the – I loved it. It was just, I wanted pure entertainment. That's all I cared about.
Well, it's funny now because I look at my fandom today, and Kevin, we're totally stealing your My 1-2-3 Cents gimmick and be doing this about wrestling. But the wrestling that I like now that I enjoy the most is the one where it's Chikara out of Pennsylvania, which is very cartoony, very comic book inspired, different masked characters, and I know nothing about the behind the scenes aspect of it. Whereas with WWE, you can see. You can go online and read, you know, what's going to happen for the next month or so. And right. And their stories are just kind of like there, whereas Chikara has very good storytelling.
And I think that's really what makes anything successful. Even in my world of marketing, it's about storytelling and having a niche. Yeah. And I think that that's one of the things that wrestling does really well.
Yeah. And so I was going to say real quick, you got involved recently in a match, Kevin was wrestling in a steel cage against a guy twice Kevin's size.
Twice? You're being nice. I think the guy's like 4 to 5 times bigger, and we're talking about pure mass and muscle. This guy was a beast. A beast.
Okay. Well, that makes it even worse then, because you decided to get into the cage along to try to save Kevin, which hats off to you, because I had been there, which I'm very disappointed that I missed the match. Had I been there, I would have tried to get in as well, but I would have turned on Kevin and attacked him.
Well, let's just put it this way. The only one that's going to talk smack or do any smack down on Kevin is going to be me. So I want my dibs first.
Okay.
And I, you know, it's funny because I don't really remember too much. I just remember, you know, I had enough. I apparently scaled the wall, the cage in like seconds, jumped down. The only thing I could find on the way was this cheap plastic broom. I don't know what the heck I was thinking, but I smacked him. It literally shattered on his back. And I still remember that. It's like the deer in the headlight kind of look. And he looks at me and it was like, death is coming this way. And I'm like, oh, God. And he grabbed my throat and it was like up and smack. And I was out for a little bit. And I don't remember too much of the match. I remember Kevin. Actually, Kevin I got to give him props. He saved me. And then Cash Borden came in, and the only way to take down Mathis was with a taser, and I don't think he was too happy about that. But we got out alive, and I live another day, and I'm officially can say I'm retired from wrestling.
Yeah, that's incredible. Luckily, no one was too seriously injured, although, you know, pissing off a mad Viking, I don't think is the smartest decision.
No, because you know what? Yeah, he can come back when he's. They believe in that, the Norse mythology of Valhalla, and that guy can come back and kick our butt some more in the other world. So I'm not looking forward to that. So I need to find a way to make this better.
Okay, well, one way you can do that is through digital marketing, which I believe is your specialty.
Yeah, you know, it's been interesting. Next month, I started my company, Harness Digital Marketing. 5 years, it will be 5 years old, man. Wow. Next month. It's hard to believe.
And what exactly is, because I've seen, as I said, I've seen you on social media for the last few years. What is Harness Digital Marketing? What do you guys do?
At the core of it, what we do is we do social media branding, management, content writing, email marketing. We do WordPress SEO. We optimize WordPress websites, and we do a lot of consulting. But really what we do is we give businesses and organizations a voice and a character online, those that want us to do that. And, you know, I think one of the things that we've done really well is to help, I guess, place or strategize with small businesses on how to best utilize social media and get their name out there instead of just posting to post. Be very methodical about it. Help them create a brand. Mm-hmm. And it's hard in this world because, you know, it's people want to be reactive. They think that social media is a toy. And I learned early on, and I don't want to see, I hate using the word manipulate, but social media lets you, I guess, control perceptions. And you really can control perceptions. We've seen it in the election. We see it with brands, everything from recently Nike to all the way back to airlines. I mean, people really have a voice and control on things now, and it can be, you know, guided in specific directions, which is what I love about it. And I love branding. That's, I mean, you see me brand different components of my of my characters, and I love it.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, with social media, especially like, say, Facebook, mm-hmm. do you – I know there's been a lot of discussion lately with Facebook coming under fire for information that they've shared and mm-hmm. and people jumping off of Facebook. Do you see that as a social marketing brand, or do you think Facebook still has the reach that it used to, or is it –
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So here's what I love about these reports and all these statistics that they get and they gather information. So there's these types of people, and what they are one, bandwagon. As soon as they get pissed off or mad or whatever, I'm done with Facebook. And here's what happens. Mm-hmm. Very few of them stay off Facebook. A majority of them come back after 30 days. They get sucked back in. It's at the core, Facebook is a giant cult, right? It's mm-hmm. a philosophy. It's been conditioned people to need it, to want it. And I'm not saying it's a good thing or bad thing, because I think there's a lot of positives that come out of it. But I think, based on your show, there is a lot of cynicism and there's a lot of negativity that comes out of it as well. And that's just because we are the people that we are around and we collaborate with. So online, if people are very political and negative, that's what you're going to see, and you breed that. But if you see positivity and you see people making a difference and using this medium for good, that's more of what you're going to see. We see what we want to see, and I think that the cynicism side of this is that I think a lot of people just aren't positive, and I don't blame social media on that. I blame the individual person on that, because they're not really trying to see the world the way it could be. They're seeing the way the world or other people are shaping it.
Yeah, I actually have come to the decision this past week that at the end of October, after I finish my first half marathon, that I am deactivating my Facebook account, because I'm just so tired of what I'm seeing on there. And I think the difference for me between Facebook and Twitter is more I can subscribe to what I want to see, whereas Facebook, being more friends, coworkers type thing, is a more...
But you control that too. I'm going to throw this back at you. You control the people that you surround yourself with.
True.
To me, when I see people talk about deactivating, mm-hmm. it depends on a couple of things. We all have a personal brand. I think it's if you are a business owner, small business owner, you're trying to brand, you have to have a presence online. You just have to, right? You just have to. And then the other part of that is you have to know who you want part of your individual brand that's coming through your line. Mm-hmm. I tell people all the time, hey, you know what? I appreciate you. Your content's not really for me. So I just want to let you know that I'm not, follow you. I let them know, because you get a max. There's like, I've already reached my 5,000 max, and I have to be selective. And I don't want, that's not like if someone doesn't have the same view that I do, mm-hmm. I just get rid of them. No, that's not it. I like to see other views. It helps me shape who I am and what I want to do. And plus, it helps me see the content that's coming through that Facebook's allowing, because I'm always analyzing their algorithm to see how I can manipulate it, how I can find ways to get around things. But at the end of the day, man, you control that. You control those people, And again, I never tell people, hey, deactivate, do this, don't do that. What I do is I tell people, look at the people that you're following. Maybe just unfollow the people, because you're surrounding yourself with, and I don't want to, are we allowed to swear?
I try to stay away from the F word, but everything else is.
Well, stay away from assholes. Can I say asshole?
Sure.
Okay. Stay away from assholes. And the thing is, people in reality are not always the same as people on social media. That's a fact.
It's true.
Very few people. Me, I am exactly the same. You see me online, offline, it's exactly the same. And that's very important to me for my brand and to be authentic. So, I would challenge you, especially since you have this amazing podcast and the show, to think about maybe just re-looking at your friends list, man, and pushing them, removing them from your life. Seriously.
That's a good point. I know I've grown to be very social media, I don't want to say weary, but I don't use social media the way that I should, especially with branding the show. And part of it is what you talked on briefly a while ago was about the manipulation of what people see online and create.
Right.
And, you know, I remember a few years ago, I was out on vacation and I saw the band Nelson.
And, oh my God, they're still touring?
Yeah, they do a tribute show to their father, Ricky Nelson.
Oh, yeah, I love both Ricky Nelson, old school, and that's, anyways, that's amazing. I didn't even know they were still touring.
Yeah, and it was kind of a sad concert when I walked in, and the first thing I hear is one lady say, oh yeah, I just turned 77 last week. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm probably the youngest person here. But anyway, after the show, Nelson, they were selling CDs of them covering Ricky's songs, and so they were out in the merch stand signing autographs, taking photos. So I got a photo and put it on Facebook, and one of my friends commented, and it's like, oh, I wish I had your life. And it's like, okay, yeah, there are aspects of my life that are cool and interesting, but then, you know, I'm not posting when I come home to the empty apartment or when I've eaten Taco Bell for the fourth time this week or...
Perception.
Yeah, it's all about perception. It's what you throw out there on social media. And that's where I guess I, that discontent or disconnect of reality versus social reality.
You control your storytelling. You control your narrative. I tell people that all the time. You don't have to show them what people want to see. You can still show them the reality of the world that you live in, if that's who you are. The more real you can be and the more that you want to share with, and that's just it. It's everybody's got their own comfort zone. Mm-hmm. But the more you do that, the more people will connect with you. And it's, you got to, it's not about a number. It's about connecting with people. You know, when I shared my ancestry DNA story, and I thought long and hard, and I worked with both my families on what to post. I mean, it wasn't just a reaction. There was a lot of forward thought before I posted on that. But I will tell you, offline and even online, I had so many people message me and saying, you know, thank you for the courage. I've always questioned things and I wanted to know if this was the right thing. And because of you, I'm going to look into this. And of course, I tell them, I said, always be careful when you open Pandora's box because you don't know what's going to come out. But if you feel that the necessary to look into that, then do it, you know, and go. And I love the power of not perception, but influencing, be a positive influence and giving people strength in numbers to do something. I've been motivated by people, inspired by people. Kevin's one of them. You know, he makes me want to work hard every day. And I want to be able to do the same thing for him. But social media, we impact other people's lives in a positive way that sometimes we don't know. That's kind of the teacher in me too, because I taught for about 10 years. And I love being able to make a difference and serving people. And I think if it's done right, social media is perfect about that. And I have no doubt that you've inspired or gotten someone interested in something based on your podcast show, your actions, and what you do every day.
I hope so. I mean, that's part of the purpose of this show is to, besides spreading the positivity, is, yeah, just making people more aware or more conscious of certain aspects of life.
Yeah. It's your story. If you want to share your story with people, Chad, you can do it. But if you don't and you're not comfortable with that, then, you know, it is what it is. And you don't have to. We have those options and choices. But social media, very powerful tool, very, very can be used for some good things. It's like, I don't know if you're a comic book fan, but I always go back to Peter Parker's uncle always telling him, with great power comes great responsibility.
That's very true. And so if someone comes to you as a client and says, okay, how can you help us brand? What is your first step?
My first step is I want to know who they are. I want to know what their comfort zone is, because all the successful things we've done have been able to get people outside their comfort zone. It's all about getting outside your comfort zone, everything. So if they're leery, then we find a way to do that. Then we look and research their company, and we typically set up three goals. What is it that you want? I mean, everybody's like, I want to make more money. Okay, well, let's narrow that down. Let's be specific. How much money do you want to make a month? You know, if it's to grow their social media presence, what are our numbers? What do you want us to do? What platforms? Instagram, social, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Snapchat. What do you want us to help you grow? And I usually stick it to three, because sometimes business owners, especially small business owners, want the world, but they don't have the budget. And we have to keep things in reality, because I'm a business owner too. And there's a reason I'm in business coming up on 5 years. It's not because I give services away for free. It's because I understand the balance between, you know, what we can charge and what the client can afford and what we can deliver. Because at the end of the day, I want to deliver results. That's all I care about. We want to deliver results for our clients and help them with their branding, help them get visible, seen. And you know, sometimes, Chad, it's really cool because they'll fall back in love with their business because we help them see it in a whole different perspective. Hmm. And I love that. But we really just sit down with them, listen, and help guide. It's also kind of business consulting too. You know, we help answer some questions because I do have quite an experience in running business, very entrepreneurial. I've helped other businesses, other startups, and I love it. I love helping businesses succeed.
Yeah. Now, jumping off of that, because I know something just came up in the last couple of weeks that I'm kind of curious about and interested in, is you and John Musgrave have started or relaunched or whatever the Southern Illinois Film Commission.
Yeah, very excited about that project. We're coming up on 3 weeks starting it. It's really hit the ground running, and it stemmed from, I recently graduated from the Delta Leadership Institute. It's they get leaders from all eight states of the Delta region together, and they put them in this institute class, and you go to each region, and it's roughly 4 days every other month, almost a whole week, and then you graduate at the end. But we went to New Orleans, and I was amazed because they took us to this center called the NIMS Center, and it was developed right after Katrina, and it was kind of an old abandoned warehouse, and they started doing small production. They basically made it a production studio. They worked with the university, built it, and it grew, and now New Orleans, or NCIS New Orleans, is filmed there. They've had movies there, and it's producing revenue. It's bringing revenue in. Catering, electrical, all kinds of stuff. I mean, it's just, it keeps going on and on. I mean, it's amazing. And I love the idea. And I'm like, you know what? Southern Illinois, what is the commodity that Southern Illinois has? It's the nature. It's the beauty, the hill. It's the, you know, the lakes. We've got the older towns. And I'm like, why can't we do that here? And I'm a person that when I get my mind on something, I don't stop. It's the military person in me. I'm going to go to town and make this happen. And I talked to John. We brought on Antonio Martinez from SIU, from over at the MassCom building in film. And right now we're small. We want to grow the board. But it's taking off. We've got a lot of interest. I'm pretty sure we're going to get some funding. In fact, John might be flying out to California, to L.A. for a conference that is going to get us in front of Netflix, Amazon Prime, Hulu, and I'm forgetting, Apple.
Okay. Yeah, because I know recently the Ben Affleck movie Gone Girl shot in Giant City State Park and over in, was it Poplar Bluff or Cape Girardeau?
Cape Girardeau.
And, you know, I worked on a film that shot in Southern Illinois back 20 years ago now. And I think everybody who worked on the film enjoyed the location, or I shouldn't say the location. I should say the people, the environment, the community aspect. But there was a lot of problems with, like, I know we had a camera malfunction one day, and to get a replacement camera flown in from Chicago or St. Louis or wherever it came from, they're like, you know, we wasted half a day waiting. Whereas if we were shooting in LA or even, I guess now, Atlanta or New Orleans, you would have something more instantaneous. So, is there hope of getting I guess, like, supply and technical equipment?
Studio
companies coming up? Or?
Oh, yeah, I love that. It's definitely on my project. So I don't know if you remember, it's now the Veterans Airport, but right across from Veterans Airport used to be a Circuit City distribution building, and it closed. Lots of space. I ideally would like, I think, with the airport right there, right off of the Interstate 57, 13, Carbondale with the rail, I think that I would love to see that turn into production studio, and I'm hoping that we can talk to some other studios up in the Chicago area about maybe having a satellite office here or just creating a new one. The goal for me in this project to get to be on board with it is to create business, create a revenue coming in. When production studios come in, they're going to need hotels. Mm-hmm. So hotels have bed tax that go back to the city. They're going to need food. They're going to need resources. They're going to need people. I want to be able to leverage SIU's department and for the first time be able to possibly have an opportunity for students to not only stay here, but to actually get internships right here in Southern Illinois. And I think that's a huge benefit. And I would, we're going to make this happen. I've set a deadline of 3 years for me on the board. I want to make some of these things happen. I'm going to be a tiger. I'm not going to be cynical about it. Okay. Sorry. I'm probably on the wrong show, Chad.
No.
Positive.
No, we're trying to erase the cynicism. It's the positive. It's realistic cynicism is what we promote here. But no, that's what I was going to say. Yes. With SIU being right there too, and having a good mass comm department, you would have, you know, students who wanted to, you know, intern or make the connection. So I think it's definitely a win-win situation.
Right. It is a win-win. And it's, you know what, about Southern Illinois that is frustrating is that sometimes we don't dream big enough, but then there's people that dream, but they're not willing to do and act, right? They just want someone else to do it. Well, I'm here saying we're going to dream big and I'm going to make it happen, but I'm not going to do it forever. Right. I'm not going to burn myself out. I'm going to make sure that you can take it to the next step, but we're going to get it started. And I'm very positive about that.
Cool. So when I finish the Kevin Huntsberger biopic, we can come in and shoot it there.
Who's going to play me?
Who do you want?
Pauly Shore. Just kidding. I don't know. That's the first person that popped in my head.
I'm sure we can probably get him.
Yeah. Right. He's probably super cheap. Let's see, who do I want to play Kevin? That one's tough. Or do you have, you know, who you want to play Kevin?
I don't. I was thinking, you know, probably like the guy that played McLovin.
Oh, yes. Yes, McLovin. He's got to be really geeky looking now.
Either him or, as we said, Jeffrey Owens is back acting again. So
I like that. I like that one a lot. I like it.
Yeah. I had a follow-up question that I was going to bring up, and I completely slipped my mind. This is why I don't have my own talk show. It's
You know, I like the candid ones more. So with your show, I mean, are you going to, you know, you talked about roughly, you know, after I think October, I think is what you said, you're going to deactivate Facebook, which could be a good thing. You could focus on some other platforms just for the show. I mean, are you looking at possibly doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I still like Twitter. I think I have more engagement in Twitter than I do Facebook. I think for me, it's what we discussed earlier. It's what you see on Facebook and just the constant. To me, Facebook has more drama that is unwanted, whereas Twitter, I think, because I selectively choose who to follow, where, like I said, Facebook is more family and friends, and so people that I guess I have more of a willingness to put up with just because I actually know them. Whereas in Twitter, if I start following someone and then don't like what they're putting out, I can easily unsubscribe and without feeling any remorse because I don't really know the person.
Right.
Although
you feel remorse? See, I don't, because it's like real connections are people in like face to face. You know, like online, if someone unfriends me, I could care less. If I unfriend them, if they're personal about it, that's crazy, because it's online. It's not real.
Well, that's what I'm saying with Facebook is everybody that I'm friends with on Facebook, with the exception of Tom Skull, is people that I know in real life that I've met. Whereas Twitter is just people that I picked up, like, oh, I like what you're putting out. So
hey, but you're also saying that your friends that are on Facebook are negative and they're filled with drama. So again, I'm gonna throw it back at you, man.
Surround yourself. Yes, you look at the five people you surround yourself with, and you'll notice who you are.
Yeah, I just don't get all that stuff in my feed, man. I just don't. I don't see it, or I'm not in denial. I just don't see it. You know, because that's not the world I create, and it is. You got to remember, Facebook is an algorithm. It's based off of interactions, emotions, words, keywords. It is political stuff. Well, they're looking for things that are constant. And if they start to see repetitive, they think that's what you want. And they're only giving you what you are saying you want. And the algorithm's obviously not perfect, but it's also one that can be manipulated and changed. I got all kinds of tricks and tips that make that happen. And, you know, people are sometimes asking me, here's one. Why do you always do happy birthday for everybody? Two reasons. I don't know if that one person is having a bad day or no one's going to tell them happy birthday online. The second thing is it reintroduces me to them in the timeline instead of the stupid post. Hey, Facebook's not letting me see everybody. So if you post and comment below, you'll start to see my stuff. I hate that. That's so stupid. It just drives me nuts. I literally try to, and yeah, I guess it's a spam thing. I have my little flag with the happy birthday flag. I change it for certain people. If it's a beer, if they love beer, if I really, if they're family, I put the hearts in. But when I do that in Messenger and it sends it to them, it basically tells that algorithm, and especially if they either like it or they comment back, that they want to engage with me. So new content gets re-engaged. So every time I do that, every day, when I send out those happy birthdays, I notice that I see new likes from people I hadn't seen before. So it reintroduces them to my content, and I love it. You know, and it's something not as obtrusive. They get to choose, they get a little bit of freedom, but at the same time, I'm telling Facebook, hey, these people do know me. And I mean, I got to go through, you know, over a year, there's like 5,000. That's crazy.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I guess it's something I hadn't really thought of is when I post, because I post so infrequently now on Facebook, it is who is actually seeing what I'm posting. And if, like you said, if it's someone that I have not interacted with, because I have a lot of, when I was freelancing in television, I have people that I worked with on, you know, one show or a couple shows that I didn't talk to afterwards. So there's probably only like five people are seeing my post at this point.
Oh, well, I'll fix that for a little bit. So, well, I've got to go review some Oktoberfest beers.
All right.
So I have to cut this short. I know you want to, I'm sure you'd love to try some of these with me, but I want to thank you for letting me be on your show.
No, thank you for coming on. It's great to, like I said, finally meet you. And I can't believe you're going to spend your perfect Saturday hanging out with Kevin, but beer is involved, which does make Kevin.
I have to have beer to handle Kevin.
Exactly.
All right, man. All right. Thank you so much.
Well, before you go, do you want to plug social media, websites, anything where people can reach you?
You know what? If they want to reach me, I will post it below, but they can follow Tom Harness or Harness Digital Marketing on pretty much every social media platform. And I want them to want to find me and look for me. So I'm not going to do a shameless plug, but I'm out there. If they have some questions about social media, yourself included, let me know and I'll be happy to help you.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Tom. Go enjoy your beer.
You enjoy your Saturday, which is super early there. So
yeah, it's all right. It's perfect. As always, question everything and do something positive.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.